Saturday afternoon to you. Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK, The Answer. It's a beautiful day. In fact, all right, stop music. Cut it. Thank you. Thank you. If you are not doing something dangerous right now, stop what you're doing. Driving a car, keep driving. And, you know, but if you're at home or wherever you are, just stop what you're doing. Get where you can feel the sun on your face. Close your eyes. Tilt your head back just a little bit, not far enough to fall over backwards, just and breathe in. I mean deep. Just suck it in there. Hold it for a second. Let it out. Do it again. Do you taste it? Do you smell it? That's spring. That's the outdoors calling you. That smell this morning was just, oh gosh. And the sun to boot. But that's the outdoors calling you. And it does it every day. All you got to do is make time to get out there. Now, when you exhale, you feel all that other stuff, you know, you feel kind of good. That's all that stress and all that's just evaporating because you're sucking in the outdoors and you're kicking out the other stuff. I know I'm sounding kind of creepy here today, but that is the outdoors calling you. And you need to get out there. Today is one of those days. Frankly, I don't care if there's anybody listening, because if you're not listening to me, that means you're probably somewhere where you can't get a radio signal. You're hiking, camping, fishing, whatever. You're doing something else. Okay. Biking. I'll even go there. If you're riding your bike up the road, just be aware of who's got the right of way. You know, but if you're outdoors today, it's where you ought to be. Just wonderful weather. And, you know, like I said, it's there every day. You just got to get out in it. You know, and boy, I tell you, for the last, well, if you know what I do in my other life, Monday is a day that I'll be officially released from my 3.5 month prison term again. I think it's, I don't know, 26 or 27, 28 years, something like that. My brother's been at it even longer. It's like 35 years for him or something. But you know, yesterday afternoon I was meeting with a client and I know I didn't have 2 hours to talk and he probably didn't have 2 hours to talk either, but we just got in there and started, you know, I think we spent maybe 5 minutes on his return and then we were off to other subjects and I only see him once a year. Yeah. That's what most of my individual clients, you see him once a year and catch him on the past year, but he and I got talking. He's, you know, kind of grew up in the country like I did, didn't have much growing up. And, you know, we got to talking about cane pole fishing. And I've got a cane pole in my office. I got a couple of those brim busters, you know, those 12 foot. And we started talking about cane pole fishing and, you know, growing up with beehives, you know, eating honey out of the jar with the comb in it. And he's into, I don't know if it's prepping or he calls it foraging. And he's talking about plants you could eat and all that. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, what all of us ought to know a little bit about that. I mean, cane pole fishing is an art form. Trust me. You'll get a cane pole hung up in the bushes quicker than you can get most everything else hung up in the bushes. It's an art form. So when you go out in here and learn how to fish, and we're going to talk to Sarah Chabane from the Department of Natural Resources about the kids' fishing clinics and the fishing rodeos that DNR puts on. And, you know, hey, look, don't hesitate to go get you a cane pole, because learning how to fish with a cane pole, well, you're probably going to develop more skills as a fisherman than you will starting off with a $200 bait caster. Now, I don't recommend anybody starting off with a $200 bait caster. But anyway, you know, I taught Taylor how to use a brim buster the other day. You know, you grab the line in one hand, you got the pole in the other hand, and you kind of, you know, get a little tension on the line. You kind of let it go and swing it out there and drop it. I mean, it's an art form, and she got it. I was impressed. She got it. It took her a little bit. She got frustrated. I think she might have teared up once or twice when I got... But she got it. And a couple of weeks ago, I was up at Lake Robinson and there were some kids up there fishing and parents and all. I'm like, you know, go get them, but don't hesitate to start off with a cane pole and a kid. You know, it's, And we were also talking about, you remember the little, you walk into any hardware store in any town, USA, and they had the little hook, line, and sinker bobber on a cardboard. Boy, if you could find those now, I think I'd buy everyone I could find. At least once or twice a month, I was buying one of those in the summertime because it was there. You know, the line, your cork, your hook, and your sinker. It was all there. And all you needed was a stick. And that's what fishing was. So it doesn't have to be complicated. When you think about getting out of there, and you can brim fish that way, you can trout fish that way. There's plenty of places to go fishing. I mean, there's lakes all over. South Carolina State Parks, I think 46 of the South Carolina State Parks have a lake in them or water running through them. It doesn't take much to get out there and get started. That's fishing. I mean, you know, you can enough gas to get to a hiking trail and a good pair of shoes to go hiking. You know, hunting's a little more involved. Mountain biking's a little more involved. But it doesn't take anything much to get out and get involved. And that's what I want you to do. You know, I read a list of things you ought to do in the new year. And one of them was take somebody new fishing. And I hope you'll do that. I mean, I know I'm on a fishing kick. It's been a fishing spring. When you got tournaments in and I fished one of them, and you know, we had Winya Bay last week, and we'll talk about a little bit more about that later on the show in Georgetown. But it is the time of the year to get out there. And right now, you know, the crappie, we are going off. Won't be but a week or two. You have a full moon in May, and that's when the brim go up on the bed. Bass are going off right now. Trout fishing is wide open in the mountains. In fact, Tuesday, don't call me. I'll not answer because Tuesday, a good buddy of mine from high school, we've been friends ever since our junior year in high school, and it's almost a tradition, day after tax season or a couple days, we'll take a day and go. We're going to be gone. I don't know how many trout streams we're going to hit Tuesday, but we're going to be gone out there. And I can't wait. Evidently, his wife sent me a message this morning and said that's all he's talking about too. So, Kevin, we're going to have a good time Tuesday. But do get out there. You never know. I mean, for me, it's been a lifelong outdoors. I mean, my life has been lived outdoors, except for the time I got to stay in the office to make a living. My kids have been that way. You know, I didn't grow up with much. My dad, he didn't consider hunting and fishing useful, and unless my granddaddy did it and kept a lot of fish and all, I guess. But, you know, I really do. I feel privileged to have come up that way. I've sympathized with people who have not come up that way, who don't know how to get started. And like I said, we're going to talk to Sarah with DNR about how to get started fishing. It's not hard. Department of Natural Resources is here to help you. I'm here to help you. And I tell you, if you don't have to go to a big box store to get the best stuff. In fact, going to a smaller tackle shop is probably the best place to go because the guy behind the counter, he either owns it and has lived it, or he knows how to hire people who have lived it too. That's where you get your best advice. That's where you get the tackle that's suitable to your skill level, so to speak. So take advantage of them. We've got them all over the state. I mean, every time you drive down the road, you see another tackle shop, or you look on Facebook and there's another. Oh, by the way, we went over 2,000 on Facebook. Woohoo. I guess that's a good thing. But get out there and do something. If it's not fishing, you know, hit a trail. Go a waterfall hike. Get your bike out and go ride your bike. And, you know, if you got to play golf, go play golf. Get your butt, you know, just whatever. Just get outside. I mean, take it for somebody who's been trapped inside for 3.5 months and just been dying to get out there. Just do it. If you've never done it, find somebody that'll help you. If you haven't done it in a long time, get back into the groove of it. Take a kid, take your kids, take a kid in the neighborhood. You never know what a lifelong impact it'll have on them. Hang on through the break. We're going to talk whenlifesucks.org. We'll see you on the other side. And welcome back. back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I don't exactly know what happened there, but hey, it sounds good. Good song anyway. You know, it's funny in life how you run into people and you know how it is. You run into somebody in the grocery store. Well, I'm at the Archery Trade Association show in Louisville, Kentucky. Huge Louisville Exposition Center. Walking down an aisle and somebody says, "Hey, that guy's from South Carolina. Grab him." And it was somebody named Patrick Ellswick. And Patrick's on the line with us. How are you today, bud?
I'm doing great. How are you, Roger?
I'm good. And the reason Patrick is on is he's tuned in with an organization that's going to have a presence here in South Carolina. It's all about veterans. And I think there's going to be a lot of great opportunities for us to work together. And I wanted to get him on, get the word out there. They've got a big event coming up here in the next week, and they've got a big center they're going to be building here, all to benefit the veterans. And so, Patrick, you've never been on. You need to take a minute, introduce yourself, and tell us how you got to where you are.
Okay, perfect. My name's Patrick Ellswick, and I work with an organization that's actually called When Life Sucks, and it's kind of a funny name because a lot of people are like, why that name? And really, we picked the name because it had to reach veterans. We didn't want it to sound institutionalized by any means.
Sure.
We needed to reach the veteran, you know. So When Life Sucks for them, they got a place that they're like, I really need to reach out to those guys because they totally understand me.
Yep.
Actually, the center we're having built, we partnered with the Heritage Corridor. It's called the Great Outdoor Center.
Right.
You guys may have seen it. You know, there's been a bunch of articles, but our main focus is to reach veterans with PTSD. And that basically, 22 veterans a day commit suicide. We hear this on, and it's actually a serious thing. And we've
right.
had several people here in South Carolina be subject to that also. Yeah, that brings up the mud run. We're doing a mud run in Seneca. Yeah, we're doing a mud run in Seneca. And all the proceeds go to help veterans with PTSD. And we really need the help to come out to support that cause. And actually, the website on the mud run is www.wlsmudrun.org. And, you know, you could get on, sign up. We have an honor walk for people that can't run the run.
Okay.
We're giving away a Jeep. There's going to be a ton of people out there. And we really appreciate the city of Seneca doing this for us and Oconee County. They've been great to us and great for all the veterans. Those two places have been really welcoming, and we really appreciate their support.
Well, for those of us who don't know what a mud run is, I mean, I know what a mud run is, but for those who don't, tell us what a mud run is.
Okay. Well, it's funny you say that because we've had people say, I want to bring my truck out there. So actually,
it's wrong kind of propulsion.
Right. Wrong kind of thing. But it's actually you run, and it's kind of built off the sergeant's course that anybody would run in the military. And it's 3.2 miles and it has 47 obstacles. And And you're thinking, I know it's funny because people are like, I can't do that, but let me tell you who we have coming to do this, and this is the reason you need to come out here.
All right.
We have a veteran. I'm not going to name his name, so, you know, I like to try to keep everything confidential. But
sure.
He has one arm, and he has a service dog, and this dog runs the race with him, and he carries it over his back as he does the obstacles.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and so it's incredible. He does these races all across the country. He's a special person. He decided he wanted to do our race and help our organization to raise awareness. And so, you know, I'm not in the greatest of shape, but with him coming, I'm like, you know what? I'm totally running this run with him, even if it's the last thing I do. Because if someone can do that, it's definitely a true inspiration. And he's coming from a long way to be part of this. And he's coming to the great state of South Carolina. So I really want to bring him. And we have five other wounded veterans running this race that it's really important that we bring him here.
And you mentioned to me on the phone when I was talking to you that you need or you can use some donations to help offset some of the cost of getting these guys here.
Right. Now, the guys getting here, you know, it was kind of a last minute thing. We weren't sure, but we wanted to say, hey, if you come to South Carolina and you want to see this state, you want to see the support we have, and you guys are going to run this run, we really appreciate it. So we didn't want them to pay for their hotel, their gas, their food. So it was an extra cost that we took on, but I personally donated it, and we definitely want some other donations. And you can actually go to whenlifesucks.org. And underneath our tab, there's a give section, and you could go there and give any amount, even if it's $10, $20. And what it's going to do is really help these guys get here, because we're a week away.
You know, it's right.
April 23rd, and I didn't want these guys to come and, you know, say, hey, we want to come, but the cost is the only thing keeping us from that. So, you know, these veterans don't have a lot of money.
Right.
A lot of them are 100% disabled, and I didn't want them to take on the extra cost. They're definitely been – some of them been through our program, and they're still going through our program, and we wanted them to say, hey, you're part of our family. If you guys want to come here, we'll make that happen.
And I'll put my reputation on the line, whatever it's worth. This is not Wounded Warriors number two. This is – totally different organization,
right,
with totally different drive. Yeah. And you and I have talked about, you know, the problems when you have an organization that forgets its main purpose for being. And I think, you know, When Life Sucks is one of those that'll probably stay true to its course.
Well, we that's absolutely what we do. We give 95% back to the veteran. And it's really important that you say that, because we actually have another nonprofit that's working with us, that partnered with us, because, you know, some nonprofits are going different directions with this whole big mess. But I'll tell you this, though, we partner with some really great ones. They're going to be there.
Okay.
And they're bringing our wounded guys that are going to be there. They're bringing them toolboxes full of tools. And this guy's a World War II veteran. He started a nonprofit. He was a prisoner of war. He started a nonprofit, and he wants to give our guys running this run toolboxes full of tools so it can help offset, you know, these guys got PTSD.
Sure. Gives them something
and
to do.
Said, hey, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. And so he's going to be there. And so we've had a lot of other nonprofits, because we're not a competitor of nonprofits. Here's what's crazy. We're actually a competitor of suicide, because
right,
22 a day is just too many.
Right.
And we have to stop that.
Well, what, you know, if somebody's listening, is there a spectator gallery you guys are going to have there at the Mud Run?
Well, we're giving away, there's going to be a ton of people there. We have
okay.
a museum in Wahala called Patriots Hall, and they're going to be over near the Honor Walk. And we encourage people down in Wahala to know that there's actually a museum right there in Wahala that has veterans. It's all the wars that we've had, but they specifically make it about South Carolina veterans.
Okay.
And one of the guys who has a Medal of Honor in South Carolina, his Medal of Honor is there. Those guys will be there. We have several other organizations that are going to be there. And for the cause, we're going to be giving stuff away throughout the day. So just kind of hanging out until we give the Jeep away. There'll be, you know, food and
okay.
stuff like that there. And we have a slew of sponsors. I mean, you can
oh,
get
yeah.
on there and check it out. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to be really cool, because we're going to be giving stuff away. We got Cryptech Hammer, who's really been, helpful, Palmetto Moonshine, those guys have been really great to us on this Mud Run. Like I said, Oconee County, the city of Seneca. So they're all making it really nice for us, and we want people to feel welcome. And actually, come, if you are a veteran, come so I can meet you. That's
yeah.
the number one thing, because I thank you for your service, because, you know, I just want to shake your hand and thank you personally. Thank you for your service, and I'd love to meet you and hear your story.
And that's the Mud Run. Now, you got something else y'all are working on called the Great Outdoor Center. Tell me, take a few minutes and tell us about that one.
The Great Outdoor Center is kind of a concept that, you know, we're partnered up with the Heritage Corridor, and we kind of want it to be an outdoor thing, because part of PTSD is the outdoors helps you heal from trauma. And we try to do it from a holistic standpoint. And when we get these veterans in the outdoors and we take them fly fishing, we take them kayaking, we take them hiking, we take them biking. So our goal is to have this one big center. You know, that's what we're raising money for right now. And what we'll do is we'll have kayaking, we'll have biking, we're going to have zip lines, we're going to have, and it will be open to the public also. So the public will be able to enjoy all these facilities that we're having, but specifically to our veterans, we want to have 40,000 veterans a year come through there all across the country on 2 and 3 day retreats that they can help heal themselves. And Roger, that's where you become a huge part of this too, because seriously.
Yes, sir. I'm with you.
Hey, we want to help you grow, because I know your main cause, and this is what I do know about Roger. His main cause is getting kids in the outdoors. It's child obesity. It's different things like that. He really wants to get kids out there and help them enjoy, because that's something that we have forgot, you know, to get our kids involved in. And that's for them too.
Yeah, that's right. Because anyone can come down there, take advantage of what the Outdoor Center has, help support it. And it's a place where people with not a lot of access will have access to get in the outdoors.
Yeah, and that's true. That's the problem, because people's like, well, where do I go?
What about
this trail? What about that trail? And it is true. Sometimes you have to go so many miles away. And so our goal is you'll be able to do this, and we will bus people on excursions, whitewater rafting.
Okay.
So it's like pilot locations. We're going to have, you know, several different ones around, and it's going to be really nice.
Oh, very cool, Patrick. Well, I tell you, it was, you never know when somebody tugs on your sleeve and says, hey, where it's going to lead. But I think that meeting up in Kentucky for your organization and Woods and Water South Carolina is going to be a pretty good match going down the road.
Yes, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you, Roger, and you doing this for us.
I appreciate you, Patrick. I'll see you on the 23rd. That's the WLSmudrun.org at the Shaver Recreation Complex in Seneca, South Carolina. Patrick, appreciate you coming on, buddy. You take care of yourself until I see you.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Patrick. Yeah, you know, it's okay. When it boils down to it, if it weren't for our veterans, we wouldn't have all the outdoors that we've got. And, you know, you had Wounded Warrior Project, which is, like I said, lost their way. And so I really did some research behind Patrick. And he never talks about himself, so I'll tell you a little bit about him. He had an outdoor television show. He's a Marine sniper, wounded in combat, and sold his outdoor show. Said he was just going to kick back and relax for a while, and this organization got a hold of him, and he is all 4 feet into it. So I hope you turn out. You know, hey, get a team together. Register, go run their mud run. I'd make it through about maybe the third obstacle, and that would be it. They'd have to cart me off in a stretcher. So hang on through the break. Gonna just cover some random stuff in the next segment, and then we'll have DNR's fishing rodeos and fishing clinics the last segment. That's what I'm doing. Staying alive. 3 more days. Hot dog. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK, The Answer. Like, and as early stated, you know, with a lifetime in the outdoors, I'm going to try to have as many answers for you as I can, without leading anybody astray. It's funny. I know a little about a lot. Some things I know more or less, and, try not to be an expert on anything. Just a couple of things out here. I kind of blew through the calendar segment earlier with talking too much. Next weekend, of course, we got the mud run. Heard Patrick talking about that. The, I love history and also Musgrove Mill Revolutionary War Encampment Weekend is next weekend, April 23rd and the 24th from 10 to 4 each day at Musgrove Mill State Historic Site. And, that's in Clinton, South Carolina. So that's something you could do next weekend. The Loris, South Carolina. Now, you really have to get on some back roads to find Loris, but it's a cool little place. The Loris Spring Festival and Outdoor Expo is happening on the 23rd. And the reason I pulled this out is because they're having a duck calling contest. Over $1,000 in prizes. Remington 870s, Yeti coolers. They have a junior and a senior. 16 and under for juniors and 17 and older for seniors. So that's something. If you want to ride some back roads, Google up Loris, South Carolina, and go on down there and try your hand at duck calling. Speaking of duck calling, you know, I haven't had to this year up till last weekend, but, you know, my oldest daughter went off to college. She's done great. I mean, it's just been the smoothest ride I could imagine. But she started feeling a little bad. Probably a combination of things, you know, trying to get schedules for next semester done and roommates and exams coming up, and she just got a little overwhelmed. So we, and that's why you listened to the chili show last Saturday. And they had a belt and chili cook off, and I couldn't go judge it. I mean, oh man, that's some good stuff. I hope some of you made it down there to the belt and to the chili cook off. But anyway, went down and picked up my daughter in Charleston, ran up to Merle's Inlet for the weekend. And I got to go to the Bassmaster Elite Series stop in Winya Bay. And yes, you can run a bass boat from Georgetown, South Carolina to the Cooper River rice fields with a gas stop in an hour and 27 minutes. Now that's 110 miles one way. So the guys were running from Georgetown. They were stopping either at Isle of Palms Marina, or one of the other marinas, gassing up, hitting the Cooper rice fields, fishing for, oh gosh, you figure on Saturday and Sunday, they got to fish from about 8:30 till 1 o'clock. And then they turned around and ran 110 miles back to Georgetown, South Carolina. And it was a lot of fun. I'm glad I wasn't marshalling, because boy, I tell you, a couple of days the wind was up, and I'm sure you had, I mean, in the Cooper River on Saturday, we had rollers and white caps in the rice fields. You know, you're talking 4 feet deep rice fields, and you got white caps and rollers. Can't imagine what Charleston Harbor was like. There's a little video of it out there. You can go to YouTube and look at it, or go to the Bassmaster website. But got to watch Britt Myers from Lake Wylie, South Carolina, win his first Elite Series tournament. He's had 55 times in the top 50, 2 second places. I want to thank Todd Walters, Patrick Walters with the University of South Carolina bass fishing team, has been on the show. Todd's his dad. Todd let me ride around with him on Saturday. He found out where Britt was. We went in there Saturday and watched him for a few hours, and then kind of rode around and found a couple of the guys and came back to Britt towards the end of the day. And then I met a BASS, gives me a media boat for a short period of time on Sunday. I met him up at Monk's Corner. Yeah, they were riding 110 miles, and I was driving from Georgetown to Monk's Corner to get to the river, so I didn't have to ride for an hour and a half in a boat. But had a great time. Britt seems to be a very neat guy. There's quite a story to his tournament, and he'll be here on the show with us in a couple of weeks. I didn't want to rush everything. He's busy. And a lot of these stories like this, they just get better with time. They age a little bit, start remembering, and he's got a couple of moments that'll just make it was just meant to be. And there were quite a few guys missing props and skegs, and I mean, you run across a rice field and you're hitting stumps and everything else, but it was a cool time. Saw the bald eagles were out in force. Got some fairly good pictures. Lost a telephoto lens. Had my camera up on a little tripod, and the wind was up, and I was running the trolling motor, and the next thing I heard a crunch, and I went, that didn't sound right. Turned around, and it's face down on the deck, and just compressed a telephoto lens. So, yeah, it was quite a weekend. That just wasn't the only thing that went bad. But anyway, it was great. Was there for the Winya Bay Heritage Festival, and they had a duck calling contest there. DU was giving away duck calls to kids, and I'm sure there were a lot of parents who really hate duck calls right now, because there was a real medley of kids blowing calls Sunday when I was there for the club, for the festival. So let's see, you know, hey, one more thing, if you're hitting around Greenville, Spartanburg area, you got a gun and knife show going on today. And tomorrow, let's see, FLW is fishing Beaver Lake. That's the home lake of Walmart. And Quaker State looks to be faring pretty good. Scott Canterbury, Jimmy Houston, and Matt Airy were second, third, and fourth after the day yesterday. Matt's been on the show a good bit. Really good guy. I think Brandon Cobb. Yeah, Brandon started out in 18th in Greenwood, South Carolina. Anthony thought he might have a shot at it. He finished 26th, not fishing today and tomorrow. So we'll keep an eye out for that and see what happens there. You know, the political season is here, and a lot of things get brought to the forefront. But here in South Carolina, there was a proposal that actually passed the South Carolina House, and I can't believe it did. And this is just, anyway, the House approved a $1,000 bounty for killing coyotes. And it boils down to Department of Natural Resources are going to be tasked with trapping and tagging a dozen coyotes in South Carolina. They were then going to release them across the state. And I guess it would be something akin to a Jack Miner band. If you're a duck hunter and you know what Jack Miner is, he was a conservationist, and he'd attach a band, not a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service band, but it was a Miner band, and it paid off. I mean, I think they had some $10,000 minor bands. But this was going to be turning 12 coyotes across South Carolina and then releasing the hunters on top of them, which I think is just a stupid idea. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe it's age. The first thing I think about is the brown, it's down. I mean, we've got enough of that in deer hunting, and now you're going to turn potentially $1,000 loose and have a bunch of people shooting at anything that's brown thinking, well, you know, it could be a coyote. Luckily, the Senate, when it got to the Senate, it got blocked in the bill it was in. If you can believe this, said the money could be spent elsewhere, like roads and bridges. Yeah, I'm sure $12,000 is going to make a dent in that. But anyway, I'm glad it failed. There is a possibility that it'll still become law. It's in a standalone proposal. This was attached to another bill, and they could vote on it as the full Senate. And, but I pray they don't. I mean, normally I don't like politicians getting involved in wildlife and stuff, but a politician proposed this stupid thing, and, you know, maybe the politicians will get rid of it at the same time. Let's see. What else we got? NASP. You introduce a kid to something they really enjoy, and you'll see dividends that you wouldn't believe. We got my daughter involved in archery in the National Archery and School Program a couple of years ago. And their team, the Upstate Hurricanes, won their regionals. They placed third in state, both middle and high, and they're headed to nationals. And nationals is in Louisville, Kentucky, 12th through the 14th of May. And the story is they've got a record participation level again this year, something around 23,000. Is it 23,000 kids? Ah, shoot, I printed the wrong program. It might be 13,000. And I don't have time to look it up. But anyway, the national shoot is, again, I think it's 13,500 is the number of attendees that are going to be there. But that's another record for the NASP program. And one of those dividends, and I was talking about getting kids involved in fishing, and you find something they're passionate about and all that, and it pays dividends. Taylor's got a paper to write, and what's she doing it on? She has created a fictional character who is shooting in an archery tournament, and that's her paper. And it's a well-written paper because that's something she loves to be involved in. So when you get a kid involved in hunting, fishing, hiking, camping, or whatever, you can tell that they're really invested in it because it bleeds over in other parts of their lives. So get your kids out there. You just never know where it's going to lead. And there's the break. I see we got Sarah on the line. Hang with us through the break. We're going to talk about fishing rodeos and fishing clinics coming up next on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We're not going to waste any time because people need to go fishing. Is that right, Sarah?
That is right.
Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Thank you for taking time on a busy Saturday for you. You hosted, did 200 scouts show up at the fishing rodeo today?
It was a little under 200 family members and Boy Scouts of the Indian Waters Council at Cohen Campbell Fish Hatchery for a cubbery.
A cubbery. They have a good time?
Mm-hmm. Oh, they had a great time.
Very good. Well, look, I'll let you figure out which one you want to talk about first, because we've got two different programs the Department of Natural Resources host, puts on, makes sure happens, and they usually go off just flawlessly. And those are youth fishing rodeos and family fishing clinics. They're scattered around the state, so take one of them and tell us what they are and how people get involved.
All right, let's start with family fishing clinics.
All right.
Family fishing clinics, we have around 40 to 60 a year throughout the state. And family fishing clinics are basically your introductory course to fishing.
All right.
These are great for family units or for kids who are coming from a scout group, after school group, church group, those types of family units as well.
And I forgot to mention, you go to the Department of Natural Resources webpage, look under Aquatic Ed, and you can find the list of both. I hate to say this. I was in the first class of instructors, and I've yet to teach a class. I hope having you on the radio show will make up for that. But they are, it's like I told somebody, this is not fishing 101. This is like fishing 100.
Okay.
It is just so basic because a lot of people don't know where to start. And when they don't know how to start, it keeps them from even trying to start. So this is for those, and kind of give us in a minute or so, give us the progression of what happens during a fishing clinic.
Certainly. The family fishing clinics generally last 3 to 4 hours long. And we've got two locations in the state that run a series from April to about September.
Right.
One of those is in Indian Land. It's a Sun City Del Webb community.
Right.
And the other one's at the Lexington Wildlife Chapter. So what they do is during the 3 to 4 hours, you start out really basic, knot tying. You learn two different types of knots, common knots to use for fishing, get a lot of good practice in, good coaching.
Right.
And then you lead into rigging a rod. And this is your standard bobber, foot shot, and hook type rig. And then we practice casting, and we learn how to try to learn at least three different styles of casting if we've got time and interest. Mm-hmm. And then this leads us into fish handling. You know, what do you do now that you have a fish? How do you hold it? I got to tell you, the first time I caught a largemouth bass and someone said, it's okay, put your hand in their mouth, I did not believe them. I was terrified.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, that's what that bottom lip on a largemouth bass is for.
Yeah, and so, and then we talk about how to use live bait. Now, one of the big reasons we use live bait is that it really is one of the most cost-effective, easiest ways for people to go fishing. All you need to do is go digging in the backyard, and you've got some worms, and you're ready to go.
That's right.
We talk about crickets and minnows as well.
Okay.
And then one of our final, the biggest part, most important part, is that we try to incorporate about 45 minutes to an hour of fishing time, whatever location we choose. Now, this gives everyone the opportunity to really exercise those skills, to have that confidence. That's what we really want people to feel empowered and to feel confident that they can go fishing on their own.
Yeah, that's important. You know, I know how to tie. I know how to put a worm on. And I know how to cast. I can do everything it takes to go fishing.
Right.
Now I just got to make time to get out there.
Right. That's the hardest part. But we hope that by gaining these skills, either with your family member or your best friend, you feel supported, you've got that knowledge, you know where to go. It's one of the hardest parts. It's just knowing where to go.
Right.
And then you feel hopefully more likely to go again, make that time. You realize, oh, this is fun. I'm having a good time. And you just enjoy the opportunity to be outside with people you care about.
Now, if somebody goes to the website, looks for a clinic, there's not one within 100 miles or so, they got a youth group, a church group, scout organization, how do they go about getting a volunteer to come and lead one for their group?
This is one of the really great things about family fishing clinics is that they happen in two different ways. One way is that a volunteer says, I'm willing to host a clinic. Here's the information. You come to me. But like you're saying, we can also have another group say, oh, it's got around 15 to 30 participants.
Okay.
And then you reach out to me through the aquatic education program and let me know, where you can travel, what age group you've got. We try to have kids older than 5 years old.
Okay.
Younger than that, the skills are just a little bit harder for them to grasp.
Sure.
And then we work to find a volunteer in your location to help lead that course.
And it's as easy as that.
So easy.
Yep.
All you need to do is commit to about 3 hours and be willing to travel to a location.
A location that's got water, because it's important at the end of that, like you said, to get in some of that real fishing time.
Right. And we generally, we try to choose public access locations.
Okay.
So that way the community can come back, and you learn more about your own waters when you use public access locations. We will work with you, though, if you know your neighbor's got a pond and they're willing to share, and we'll work to try to make it happen at that location, that if you have a preference.
Now, you're just a mom who's got a son who just wants to go fishing, or you know, a grandparent who's got a grandson and they just want to go fishing but don't have any place to go. There's another opportunity for them to get out there and wet a line, and that's the fishing rodeo.
You're right. The fishing rodeos are so much fun. We actually had our first one of the year today in Dorchester County.
Yep.
And these are designed to host more people. So at the Family Fishing Clinic, you're guaranteed to not have to compete with more than about 25 people. But the fishing rodeos, they're always at a big, big lake, lots of room. And some of them we can fit, you know, 200, 300 people. Mm-hmm. So you can bring your whole neighborhood. And one of the big things we want to do with fishing rodeos is we heavily stock the water that the kids are fishing on. And so this guarantees you, or almost guarantees you, the opportunity to catch a fish. And what's so cool about the rodeos is that each one has their own catch limit. So you can take fish home.
Very good.
You
know the other cool thing about a fishing rodeo? That is, there's lots of guys from Department of Natural Resources around with their guns and their badges. And they're not there to give you a ticket, or they're there to hand out a free fishing rod to you. They're there to help you take a fish off the hook. It's a friendly atmosphere. It gives the kids a whole different outlook at law enforcement than what they might run into later in life.
Right. Law enforcement plays a huge part in the fishing rodeos. They host a lot of them. We also work on federal property, on state park property, county, city. We have a huge community that helps support the youth fishing rodeos. And what's really great about them is that there's always prizes, goodie bags for every kid. We encourage you to bring your own equipment, but there's almost always something that you can borrow. Same with the bait. You know, we almost always have a little bit of bait on hand, but, you know, we recommend that you bring your own. And this is just a great way to get outside, hang out with your family and your friends, and enjoy the fun of fishing. Talk with law enforcement, learn a little bit more about what they do, about their job.
Now, cover both of them. Give us, how do people get involved with the fishing rodeo? I know you urge people, encourage people to sign up, register for these things. How do they do that?
We recommend that you go on to dnr.sb.gov/aquatic-ed, and there's lots of tabs at the top. Clinics is one of them. Rodeos is another. The whole schedule's on there. You choose which one you want to register for. Enter in your information, and then you'll get a registration packet and tell you where to go, what time to arrive. And that's it. It's really quite simple to sign up for both of these types of events.
There you go, people. That's all the information you need to get started in fishing. And once you get started, I promise you, you've heard it before, hook for life is not just a slang saying. It's true.
It's true. It's a lifetime.
It's a lifetime. Sarah, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy day. I'm glad the scouts and their families had a good time. And I look forward to seeing you around at one of these fishing rodeos.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, ma'am. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, those are cool. I mean, one of the coolest things about a fishing rodeo is listening to those kids just start squealing, because they do. They come in and dump 3,000-4,000 pounds of blue catfish in there, or, you know, a couple thousand pounds of trout and stream. And I mean, it is a catching thing. And that's what you want to do with kids. Kids want action. If they're not getting it in the water, they're going to get it in the dirt bank next to them or in the woods or something. So you want to keep them occupied. And that's what they do. They bring in fish, they stock it. And like I said, it's a different encounter with law enforcement when that guy's there encouraging you, laughing with you, taking pictures with you, you know, helping you take him off the hook or whatever. It's a great introduction to those guys and who they really are. And that's what I think is so special about a fishing rodeo. So again, the website, that's dnr.sc.gov, aquatic ed, and find a place to go fishing. And that's pretty much it for another Saturday. It's amazing how fast time flies. You know, we lost, I think I read one of these things the 1st of April. Jim Harrison died. Great writer. And he had some quotes came up on Sporting Classics. And boy, who wouldn't want to do this? If you hunt or fish a couple of weeks in a row without reading newspapers or watching television, a certain not altogether deserved grace can re-enter your life. And I'd say that about technology, iPhones, iPads, computers, and whatever else. But who's got a couple of weeks, right? So you take what you can get, day here, hour there. None of it's ever wasted. Appreciate you being here. Hope you're going to make plans to get outside. When you do get outside, make sure to take those back roads. Find that little town of Loris. See what it's all about. And don't forget the camera. And if anybody's got a telephoto's lens for a Nikon camera, I need one. So anyway, glad you're here. I'll look forward to seeing you next Saturday on Woods and Water, South Carolina. My mind.